and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
What's this new game? Fall Guys. Okay, maybe this will probably be a nice, relaxing experience.
2 hours later.
Ah! Can you stop grabbing me already? Oh, no, not the balls! Not the balls! Ah!
And that was the last time that Todd and Tyler ever heard from Will again.
Okay, every game. And if there's anything I've learned from that game, don't get eliminated! If you get that reference, thank you very much.
I do not, but whatever. Also here is Talia Styler, hopefully not yelling about balls.
That game, it just makes me wonder, like, how things gain steam, because I had never heard of it, and then all of a sudden yesterday at like 10 p.m., every single person on my timeline was tweeting about it at once. It was fascinating.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them internet phenomena. Like, I saw that, and then like I saw a tweet like, how many subscribers can we get in a day? And it's like, you know, sometimes when you got it, you got it.
Yeah. Right, and they were like verified the same day it was like, I believe it was released. Yeah. They were verified on Twitter.
It reminds me of...
It does look a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It reminds me, honestly, of what happened with Rabbids. Because, again, when no one... Like, when we all thought that game leak was fake, we were like, oh, this is terrible. And then that one treehouse happened where they showed, like, in detail about the game, and, like, everyone's blowing up about it. And I was like, oh, man, this actually looks really, really cool. So, sometimes it's all it takes. Sometimes it's all it takes. All right, so we have a rather interesting show for you today. A lot of it focused on the future of Nintendo, as well as talking a little bit about the past. We're going to all start off with, what have you been playing? I'll go first. Because despite my best wishes, I have not been playing, like, anything. Except for Fire Emblem Heroes. I seriously have been so swamped with work. Like, right after the podcast last week, I got hit with work. I had like 25 scripts to do, and among all my other things, and so like Friday and Saturday, the only time I really relaxed was when I was watching Umbrella Academy Season 2 review up on the website and everything. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. So yeah, I have not like had any time to play games, so I'm trying to get all my work done, so maybe on Saturday, or maybe late Friday night, I can finally play. But I have been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. I was sad that I lost the voting gauntlet. Who did I pick first? I don't remember. I can't remember my first pick. And then I picked Mia and Lucina, because at least they're, like, story relevant. And then, of course, who won? The perfect pair. Yeah. I was like, of course I lost to them. Of course I did. That's not biased at all. And then we'll be talking about Fae Chan a little later, but I've been saving up my orbs. The Fae Summer Celebration has been great for getting orbs. I keep finding new ways to get orbs, and so I literally just had to go through the screen like, okay, what random one can I do today? Oh, bows killing staff users? Okay, fine. I'll go and kill a bunch of staff users. I don't care. So I'm at like 280 right now, and so when the pirate banner comes around, I'll be trying for that. And then we have news on Choose Your Legend, so I'm going to start ahead of time to get ready for that, even though I know a Tempest Trials is coming. So, again, I have not been playing, but we might be getting a review code for Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. And if that does happen, I will totally be playing that. I will find a way. Life finds a way. And because I love that series, I totally want to play this game. So, yeah. But I do apologize for my lack of gaming. I kind of feel like the Philadelphia 76ers in the fourth quarter right now.
They're already dead.
It's like, stop it, he's already dead.
Good.
No. But, yeah, I do apologize. I hope next week I will have more gaming exploits for you.
Right. And also, I think you also have another Kickstarter currently active right now.
I do. It's not really gaming relevant, but I do. I do have a Kickstarter out for my, comic book Tokyo Blade Detectives. We're on the third issue. I am very grateful to my two co-hosts for pledging. I still gotta get our other Outer Haven family into pledging, because they've been pledging the last few times, so I don't know why they're hesitating, but not bitter at all. So But yeah, it's Tokyo Blade Detective number 3. It's on Kickstarter. We have rewards for you to catch up on this series digitally and physically. So if you haven't read it, you still can get all the books on this one. So if you can pledge even if only a dollar, I would appreciate it. So yeah. But that obviously has been taking up a lot of my time too, because we're in the first week and I'm just like, come on, I need backers. Because I'm impatient. That's how I roll. All right, Will, how about you?
So, if you cannot have figured out my beginning monologue bit, so yes, I have been playing a little bit of the game that's been sweeping the internet right now, Fall Guys on the PS4. And I'm currently tasked with making the review as per ordered by Mace, one of our managers. And yeah, this game is pretty much Mario Party on steroids, in a sense. Because if anyone has grown up with shows like Wipeout, MXC, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge on Spike, or Takeshi's Castle, then this game is pretty much right up your alley. It's basically of 60 players, you basically drop in. You compete in different races, survival minigames, and then, of course, naturally, it comes down to the last minigame, or, like, the final game, of whether or not you can survive this battle royale. So, it's a battle royale of 60 people, and basically, you gotta navigate through courses, and it is crazy. Like, the one thing I think that Mediatonic does well with this game is because, one, it does also involve some skill, like Mario Party in a sense, but at the same time, it also, there is that sense of RNG luck base as well. So Lady Luck can be on your side if it wants to or not. Like, I haven't currently been sunk so much hours once I come back home from work, and it is so nuts. There'll be times like, okay, I'm good. And there'll be like some team minigames that like you have to really base on your team, like, and sometimes your team doesn't cooperate, like, are you serious? Can you, like, push this ball already? And sometimes, like, there'll be games like pushing a ball to a goal, getting eggs into your team, and then you can also steal your other team's eggs as well. And also, like, on certain, like, a tail chasing is just, there's just so much. I mean, right now it's just first season right now, and of course, naturally, I expect Mediatonic to update its list of minigames. But this game, if you check up video clips on YouTube, there'd be times when you would scream like, ah! Like literally a crow scream of like, oh god, okay, I'm good. But then it's like someone there, like players can also grab onto you to really mess you over, which is that's the most infuriating thing ever. Like, can you stop grabbing onto me already? Like, and of course the obstacle courses, the balls coming at your face and squishing you, and fruits and bananas. It's just so much fun. Like, of course, naturally, there is, like, some glitches. Of course, with the online infrastructure, there are some crashes to be expected. But overall, this is a very solid product. And it's currently right now available on PC and PS4. For PlayStation Plus users, it can actually get this game for free. Last I checked on the Steam store, I believe it's $30 last I checked. But on PS4, it's $20. So if you want that PlayStation Plus, yeah, definitely.
I thought it would be one of those free to play. I mean, it does look like a lot of fun. It makes you wonder if Nintendo would like to follow suit and do something with a Mario Party skin. Because even, right, there's a ton of characters in it, obviously. It's a battle royale. But imagine, like, you know, you don't even need to necessarily be able to play as, like, Mario or Peach. Like, if you could, like, this is bad, but if you could, like, they can't do this anymore, but if you could, like, get a Toad, right? And design Toad. Like, with an eye patch or, like, I don't know, there's so much chance there. There's such an opportunity to for Nintendo to kind of cash in. Because you're right, it looks like Mario Party. One of the games is, like, absolutely platform peril, or hexagon heat, platform peril from Mario Party 1 and 2, just reskinned.
Pretty much. It's, yeah, and the one thing I really also like about this game as well is because it really is, not free to play, because again, you do have to pay for it, but basically the unlockables, it is progress-based. You can, you build up currency, and of course, naturally, if you build up victories, you can also get, like, exclusive items, and like, there are some exclusive items, like, if you want to buy cosmetics, but at this thing, it is purely cosmetics. So, it doesn't hound you on microtransactions. That's, like, really, it's just, like, one thing, and that's it. And that's only, like, per season. So something similar to Fortnite, but less like predatory sense. So yeah, overall, if you got a chance to get this game, play it, play with friends as well, because you guys can play with like up to 3 more people on your party. It is a very fun game, so I highly recommend it. I'm currently doing a review of it right now, and yeah, just it can get crazy. It can get crazy. So that's what I'll leave at that. And actually, I've been playing with Fire Emblem.
Do you think that, and I haven't seen the game, do you think that Fall Guys would work on Switch?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for mentioning, because, that's the kind of thing I feel like this would be a perfect thing for Nintendo Switch. However, I do have to acknowledge, perhaps maybe because of the online infrastructure of Nintendo, as you know, is not really kind of the best, but it has managed to go and play with Fortnite, so it is possible for this game. I feel it is possible for Mediatonic to make this game for the Switch users. I mean, of course, now we're all playing with Nintendo Switch Online, but of course, that's dependent if they want to use Nintendo Switch Online service if they want to. So I feel like this game would work very well on the Switch, especially with the amount of numbers we have. Like, sadly enough, there was some server crashes in the beginning when this game released. So, I mean, that's to be expected. But even that for on Steam and PS4 servers. So to imagine it playing this thing on Switch, it can work. I feel like it really can work. It's just really if they can really optimize it for Nintendo Switch. So I feel it really can work.
All right. And you were saying something about Fire Emblem Heroes?
Yeah. Continuing on with Fire Emblem Heroes, I'm also, like you, I've also been working on getting some orbs. I actually am just sitting at that 280 orb count right now and just been summoning all that. So, but nothing really has changed. And, of course, naturally, I've been playing Overwatch because the new summer game event has happened. And, yeah, new skins, new Lucio Ball remix, which it is very quick. So if you want to go for a quick Lucio Ball match, Lucio Ball remix is a very good way just to, like, get a quick match in. A very good way to get your loot boxes crate if you want to. And I'm trying to get that Pharah legendary skin, which looks pretty nice. So overall, it's been pretty hectic. And again, Fall Guys, highly recommended if you get a chance.
Nice. That's a pretty active week from you. I've been fairly active on gaming this week, but unfortunately, I believe the time has come that I need to ship my console to Nintendo because my fan has officially given out. Before it was like worrying like super loud, like obnoxiously loud, but yeah. It was working. Now I'm getting console overheated if it's like plugged in for 15 minutes and I don't have a fan blowing on it. And I think the coolant, I don't know if there's coolant in there. I'd imagine there is, but like there was a puddle under my Switch one time. And like, there's a shit. Yeah. There was like, it was like coming, like it coming out from the bottom. I don't know if there's a chance I like put it on a condensation spot where I had a cup and didn't realize it, but at the same time, I feel like something may have blown. It still works. Like I can still play it. And as long as I have a fan like right on top of it. So I might have to like crack into my Wii U backlog and break out Xenoblade X in the coming weeks here and ship it out to them. But in the meantime, it's weird. It's frustrating because the Ring Fit Adventure grind has been real. Like that's how I've been getting my workout in. And yes, you could definitely do the workouts without the game, but I like the game. Having the game and like, I don't know, having that visual of attacking the enemies and making that progress, it does work for me. That definitely impacts my overall grind. Ring Fit, man, I'm so glad that they restocked it because I think that this is a game during the COVID times that is just for everybody. If you're in a state that, if you're not like Todd living in a state that gyms are open in, what a lucky guy.
I'm lucky.
This is
I'm
like the best way to work out.
Lucky. I am lucky.
Yeah. Reading your fitness updates, I'm like, oh gosh, right. When will
you always
been
doing so on Twitter? Yes.
I've inspired people with those tweets. You're welcome. And that's not a shoot. I actually have. So you're welcome.
Yeah, no, it is nice to see that you know, somebody's staying active at a time where it's difficult to. It's certainly motivating. And Ring Fit actually does a good job of motivating you as well. Like the game is constantly like giving you that positive feedback while also kind of being strict on your form.
Yes.
I think I said this before. But like it is crazy accurate on like if I'm tired from doing a bunch of squats and I'm like wobbling at the end, I will not get the great attack. I will constantly be getting yelled at for not going deep enough or coming up too soon or not launching fast enough. Like it's a really, really good workout game. And I do highly recommend it. The other game that I've been playing is Bug Fables. You may have heard of this. If you haven't, it's basically an indie dev's crack at old school Paper Mario games. And when I say it's an indie dev's crack at old school Paper Mario games, I mean it is an exact clone of the first two Paper Mario games. It's just right down to, like, you know how in the old Paper Mario games, if you were going from one screen to another, like the path gets narrow and there's that little boundary, there's that little border decoration on like the edges of the screen. This game has like that. It's like that exact pattern. It is very like the game lacks its own identity in a way that is a problem. But at the same time, I wouldn't say it drags down the experience because it has been 15 years since we've had a game like this. So it feels like you're coming home to mom's cooking after a long time away from home. Like if it was in Paper Mario, it is in Bug Fables. There's cooking mechanics, there's badges, there's flower points, there's it's just every single, the action commands are the exact same. It is a Paper Mario recreation. And it's pretty cheap. I think I got it for $20 thereabouts. There are little tweaks to the combat and overall experience that are different from the original games. Like you'll have three characters instead of two, and like none of them are like the main character. Like in the other game, in Thousand Year Door, if Mario went down, that was game over. In this game, you can as long as one of your party members is still standing, you're still in the fight. There's three characters instead of two, so you're able to kind of strategize a little differently. The badges apply to individual characters rather than the team at large, so you can kind of have some customization with how you want each person to play. It's definitely a very fun, if you like the old Paper Mario games, no doubt you will really like Bug Fables. The tone is like, they capture the tone super well. The hand-drawn setting is great. The character designs are phenomenal. They've actually refined the side quest system in Thousand Year Door. If you remember that help desk that you could do, it was kind of a pain to only be able to accept one at a time and all that stuff. In this game, you can accept everything at once. And the side quest content is actually pretty engaging. So in a few ways, it does improve on the classic Paper Mario formula. The plot is generic, but it's still cool. Like this Bug Kingdom is very well imagined. Unfortunately, the writing is the weakness. The writing, I think, is bad to terrible. Just like the characters themselves are okay. It's just what they say. They're bugs, but no person would talk that way. And it kind of creates this awkward team chemistry that you're just like, I can't quite buy in. But overall, the game is very, very fun. I highly recommend it to any old school Paper Mario fan. Todd, there's no doubt that you would like this game.
I've heard a lot of things about it, including like you said, it's a Paper Mario clone. Let's just be honest. And
it's a clone,
it's a clone. But it's one that, you know, does do quality in certain events. I find that fascinating because we always make fun of clones, but sometimes clones can give great things. Like, look at Saints Row. All right, that was a total clone of GTA, and then it became one of the biggest things around. So, yeah.
I'm glad you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And like I said in the beginning, you know, it's been 15 years since we've had a game like this. Like, if Nintendo had just released a game that was just like this, you'd be like, okay, this isn't up to that standard of polish. But because it's been so long, it's like, wow, I love this type of game. The mechanics are great. Everything is fundamentally sound. Yeah, it's definitely, I'm glad the game exists. And I do think that it's worth people who are hungry for that old school experience. There is something out there and it's called Bug Fables. I think you'll really like it.
All right. And with that, let's head on to the news, because especially today, I honestly have to admit, there are times when we have like a slow news week, and then the day of the podcast, something big just happens, and we're like, oh great, we can talk about this for a long period of time. And that's exactly what happened today. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And today, for whatever reason, we got the Q1 results from Nintendo. And boy, do they have a story to tell. So let's start off with the big one. Nintendo Switch sales in the last quarter, which again is March, April, and May. April, May, June. My apologies. April, May, June. They sold 5 million. I'm so off today. 5.68 million units during the quarter, which is not bad because again that's three major lockdown months. So they are now lifetime at 61.45-ish. Sales. Obviously, we don't know about the last few months, but that's incredible. So in less, about 4+ years, 4 months in, or you know, we're in year four, right? So not even 4 full years, and they've basically sold, you know, 20 million a year, between like 16 and 20 million a year. That is incredible. Now, to be clear, some of these sales are from Nintendo Switch Lite and Nintendo Switch, so obviously they are combined numbers, but still, it's the same as, you know, the infinite number of Xboxes or PlayStations models out there, so it's the same thing. But seriously, 61 million? That is incredible.
Second highest selling Switch console, Nintendo console, probably at this point. I mean, you know, it's from Q1, so you'd have to imagine that they sold 500,000 in the past 3 months or whatever, you know, whatever the past month and a half.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And now I the only rival is the Wii, because the Wii obviously sold over 100 million. So I don't know. I'd have to check the numbers on that, but it has to be close. I mean, because the Wii was a phenomenon in its own right because of the motion controls and how much fun everybody was having. It was the ultimate casual gaming machine, whereas the Switch is the ultimate portable gaming machine. So. I'm just so happy for Nintendo. I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but the Wii U days were dark because, you know, they had good games, but the sales just weren't there. Then everyone was like, is the Switch going to work? Even Nintendo was hesitant. Now they can't keep it on the shelves, especially during a pandemic. And now they're at 61 million. I mean, wow. That's...
yeah.
It's just very amazing to see the Switch just like, it just taken off ever since its release. Like now we're kind of approaching, is it 3 years now or is it 4 years? I feel like 3-4 years.
We are in year four because remember it launched in March 2017. So 2017, 2018, 1 year, 2018, 19, 2 years, 19 to 20, that's three. So we're in year four.
Okay. So 4 years after release and now just continue with this was amazing progress. It's like, okay, now it's all going to surpass the original NES, so yeah, now it's just Nefis is the Wii system numbers, which again, that's really what I'm really hoping for, like at least rival those numbers along with the Wii, because if Nintendo, as we said before, continues like making great games for the Switch, then yeah, I think we can easily reach up, probably like the next milestone, I'm guessing probably is 80 million.
Not used to being a Nintendo fan, I've always been a Nintendo fan, but like the Wii U, I would say, was the time that I started following Nintendo enough to do a podcast about it, and it's just strange, like when you that install base is massive, like you see the number for Animal Crossing, we'll get into all that in a bit. It's exciting to me because even with new consoles launching, the Switch is still a spot that third-party developers should be releasing their games. I mean, there are 60 million consoles out there. There is a crazy hunger for games on this platform. So that's really exciting just from a what's yet to come. And then the Switch Lite numbers were crazy good as well. And when that first launched, it was kind of just like, all right, well, that was okay. But to have them, I think they added like the 5.5 million that they moved to have, I think it was 2.5 million of those consoles be Switch Lite. That was quite impressive to me as well. And part of me wonders if that was a supply issue on the actual Switch itself. But still, it's good to see that gamble paid off and that device is finding its target.
Yeah. Now, the other major aspect of this news was the game sales, which, oh my gosh. Okay, now let's briefly recap what happened at the end of March. Because when the March numbers, which was the end of quarter one, we heard that Animal Crossing New Horizons had sold about 11 million in the first 10 days of March, and then they sold like another million-ish in like not long after that in April, which was awesome. We're like, okay, they're already at 13 million. Yeah, we had no idea what was about to happen, because apparently in the 3 months following its release, Animal Crossing New Horizons sold an extra 10 million units. Let's see, it was 10.63 in Q1 2020, which when you add to the original numbers of Q4 2019, which was those 10 days, it's sitting at 22 million sales.
Ooh.
Animal Crossing. And if that still does not blow your mind, ladies and gentlemen, here's the stat you need to hear. It's the second best-selling game on the Switch right now. Yeah. And the only game that is beating it is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Smash Brothers? Nope. Is that Breath of the Wild? Nope. Sword and Shield? Nope. Odyssey? Nope. Animal Crossing. Wow!
Yeah, just... it really is something of, like, again, the timing, the coincidence, and it's just, like, it just fell into place for Nintendo, especially with Animal Crossing. And the fact that everyone was just demanding the next Animal Crossing game, like, yeah, give me Animal Crossing, give me Animal Crossing, we're tired of Pocket Camp already. And, yeah, finally got it, and everyone's just been getting it. It pretty much is, I mean, not to compare the two, but I guess this would pretty much be Nintendo's Minecraft series, I'm guessing.
I find that fair. I think that's a fair, you know, comparison. Yeah. You know, build, you're building things. You know, you're trying to make your own life. Creativity, obviously, but it's just Animal Crossing. I mean, we're not saying obviously that the game sold bad before they didn't. I mean, New Leaf was incredible on the 3DS. In fact, I have the number here, I believe. Here we go. Animal Crossing New Leaf sold 12.55 million. You know, that's a lot. And yet, in, what are we at? Four months? Yeah, 4 months plus-ish. It's already did 10 million plus that. That's insane. And again, the number I gave for the 3DS, that was its lifetime. We're not even technically 6 months, because again, we released in March late, then April, May, June, that's 4 months, and now we're in August, that's six, and so right now it's easily got to be over 23, if not 24. Like, this game is just out of control.
And it is, and again, it goes back to, like, the most impressive thing to me is the passion that people have for games on Switch, because 3DS had a large install base as well. I mean, I don't think it was quite as big as Switch as when New Leaf launched, but at the end of its life, I think there were, like, 55 million 3DSs out there. To have that be, you know, only 10 million more Switch consoles sold, and yet 10 million more Animal Crossing sales, you know, people love playing games on Switch.
Yeah, and I just realized I'm sorry I didn't catch this before. This technically means, based on the current numbers from the Q1, one in every three Switches has Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
One in three.
Even slightly more than that at this point.
Yeah, totally more than that, but one in three. That's crazy.
It's just, again, as we said before, it's like it just kind of shows how passionate the fan base is. Even if you're a longtime Animal Crossing fan or a newcomer, which I'm no doubt about that, I'm pretty sure a lot of newcomers came in for the series, and of course, naturally with Pocket Camp on the phone. But yeah, it just goes to show that they really got something with Animal Crossing. And whether you like it or don't get it at all, you gotta admit that Animal Crossing is that kind of series that, it's just, it has that uniqueness that, you know, that comes from Nintendo.
Now, are we expecting this to mean paid DLC for Animal Crossing? I don't know if they've had paid DLC previously. You don't think so?
No.
I think that they're going to. I mean, come on. There's so many copies of it out there. I feel like, just from a business perspective, It makes sense.
No, but they didn't do that for New Leaf, not to my knowledge. And yeah, right. they could have done that before, because obviously they had DLC on the 3DS. And with the free updates, they're trying to welcome more people into this. And even though, obviously, the DLC, with all the content we already have in New Horizons, it wouldn't be, you know, you have to do this to have the full experience, it would kind of be antagonizing.
And I agree.
And Nintendo, as much as we rib them for various things, they've been very good about their DLC content. You know, with Smash Brothers, it's you're getting new fighters. With Zelda, it was the Master Trials and then the Champions Ballad thing. Mario Kart. You know, they brought in the Wii U DLC as
they brought it as a full package.
So like they didn't even have that. They could have, but they didn't. And then
Splatoon 2,
that was a massive expansion. Wasn't necessary though. Pokemon, you obviously had the expansion pass, but that was again major content. So, and then Odyssey didn't have any.
Right, the fact that they didn't do it for Odyssey, and you know, obviously that was a similarly crazy selling game.
Yeah, which I'll get to.
That's the one thing, and you're right. Like, you know, from a player's perspective, paid DLC would be a little slimy for Animal Crossing. I could see why they would do that.
But like, what would you do? Because it couldn't be quality of life stuff, because that's what they've been doing in their updates, like the free updates, like the one they just had.
Yeah.
So like, what would you think they would do to make it worth the paid DLC price, even if it's only like $10? Like, what would you think it would have to be?
No, you're right. It is difficult, because especially having not played Animal Crossing, I don't know exactly what's lacking there, but they could definitely, you know, I wouldn't think people would be okay with them adding in villagers and having that be behind a paywall, but they could certainly do something like that. I don't really know. I'd have to play it to really be able to pinpoint what they would add in that way.
If anything else, like, if we're talking about how to monetize a series like Animal Crossing, I mean, if like thinking in the mindset of EA, because EA is notorious for their DLC practices,
they're
like,
evil.
If I had to imagine like how they would do something, if Nintendo wanted to go that EA dark road, it probably worth we're going to like one maybe extra cash, because that's the most easiest one, extra cash, or like perhaps limited items, like the seasonal items, like within seasons, instead of like doing the usual time travel, which a lot of people exploit. Maybe extra turnips, because again, everyone wants to go with the stock markets. There's a lot of ways that Nintendo can probably like really get money grubbing if they wanted to, but again, thankfully this is Nintendo, not EA, so there's just kind of blessings right now, and really be thankful for that free update. That's what I'm saying. Yes,
I got it. You're ready for this? There is one thing that they can do to guarantee that everybody will get it. We'll call it the Tom Nook Pass. All right. If you buy this expansion, all your debt to Tom Nook is zero. Because everybody knows that the hardest part about Animal Crossing is paying off Tom Nook, because you always have to go deeper into debt with him to get more stuff. So you buy this DLC pass, your debt is zero, and then you can be free.
A get out of debt free card, basically.
Yeah, and of course again, technically you're paying Tom Nook, so like that's why it's called the Tom Nook pass, because you're paying Tom Nook to get out of Tom Nook's pocket. So, it would be controversial, but players would get it because they want to get out of Tom Nook's from under Tom Nook's thumb. So there you go, Nintendo. You're welcome. Oh, boy. All right, but now to the other sales news. Three things that I want to highlight. Number one, Ring Fit Adventure. Because we've been wondering, especially during the pandemic, with all the talk of Ring Fit Adventure being sold out, how well is it doing? Well, as of the quarter ending, it's at 3.9 million sold. And let's be honest, this point in time, it's probably 4. Easily. So,
yeah, because another... I mean, the restock was recently. Like, I think they might have started restocking. So, I would say definitely.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, that's yeah, that, 100,000 in a couple of months. Heck yeah, they'll totally do that. So, yeah, another boost from the pandemic. It's like, thanks. It's almost like it's planned that way. But we'll get to that. Second, the game that we've also been wanting to hear about, Xenoblade Chronicles. The definitive edition came out in May, and so it had about a month to see how well it would sell. Well, it is officially a part of the Million Sellers Club at 1.32 million, so not as much as Xenoblade 2 and its launch, but you could count that to people either not wanting it, I've already played it, or whatever. So, but still, a million is a million. That's just adding it to the ever-growing list of Switch games that have reached a million and beyond. So, bravo to them. And then the surprise to me, Clubhouse Games.
This was really shocking.
Yeah, 1.03 million. And if you don't realize, Clubhouse Games was really like that gaming collection, like 51 worldwide classics that they just put it on digitally for you to play. A million. And I truly believe that that, too, was a benefit of the pandemic, because you're inside, so you might as well play all these classic games while you're inside.
100% that had to do with the pandemic. And honestly, it had to do with the dearth of games around as well. You know, if Clubhouse Game was released and, I don't know, a Mario game came out a week later, I don't think we see the numbers that we saw there. But it also, that game did look fun. They did a nice job of showcasing it in the Nintendo Direct Mini back in March. That was actually one of the few games that I was like, am I going to get this? I might. I didn't. But yeah, I think that was actually pretty well marketed when they first revealed it.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely has that appeal of, like, again, as many different games from Solitaire to Checkers. I mean, all the classic games. But, of course, naturally, Tank, 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 which a lot of people want that since the Wii Play days. So it definitely is something. It's like, especially if you can get it on a bargain price. Yeah, the classic games of 51 games. Yeah, it's definitely money's worth, I feel like. Yes.
All right, and quickly running through some of the other top games that Switch has. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, 26.75 million. I already said Animal Crossing is at 22.4. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, it's 20. Okay? They literally say it's 19.99. Round up! All right? It's 20 million sold. Okay? Especially now. So, like, that's insane that it sold that well. Breath of the Wild, 18.6. Pokemon Sword and Shield combined, 18.22. Super Mario Odyssey, 18.06. That one's honestly slowed down. I'm kind of surprised by that, because remember, that used to be the number two title.
Yep.
Remember? And like, and now Breath of the Wild's passed it, Sword and Shield's passed it. That's very curious. Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee combined, 12.2. Super Mario Party, nearly 11 million. Splatoon 2, 10.71 million. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, 7.44. So, yeah, lots of their software sales for the quarter was like over 50 million. With, again, 10 million plus being Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So, good, very good quarter for the Switch. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the next quarter, which ends next month, will bring, both in terms of hardware and software sales. But I'm happy for Xenoblade. I'm kind of shocked at Ring Fit at Clubhouse. But hey, it sells during a pandemic. Who are we to judge? So, but yeah, 61 million for Switches worldwide. That is incredible. And that just gives me hope for what's eventually going to happen. Eventually. And this gives me like no fear for the other consoles, because it's like, you'll sell, sure, but you won't do Switch numbers. Like, not the way we're doing it. All right, especially if they're like super high price like everyone's fearing that it is. So we shall see. All right. Moving on to Pokemon Twilight Wings, because the finale of the series, as it stands right now at least, came out. It was called Sky, and it featured the kid from the first episode meeting Leon, our directionally challenged champion. Or as one lovely Twitter commenter said, Leon was so lost he decided to go into Breath of the Wild. Because he's like on a... Never mind. It's a great joke! Laugh, dang you! I'm the host. Hi, Alex! So, this episode was beautiful visually. It was beautiful storytelling-wise. It was beautiful battle-wise, where we got to see him versus Rihan. And an absolutely stellar battle that really... And again, this is hilarious because in Journeys, small spoiler, In the first episodes of Journeys, we see Leon fight Lance from the Kanto Elite Four, and they have an absolutely awesome battle. And yet this one was just choreographed and drawn that even more beautifully than that one. That one was no slouch either. So this was a very fun series. We got to see why Leon is so beloved by the gaming community ever since he arrived. And this was a very fun series, start to finish. There was only like one dull episode in my mind. And I want more of stuff like this. Because I have a rant in my head. And this is legit. I have a rant in my head about the cartoons nowadays of how they're all like, you know, scrunched humans, you know, like weird comedy, you know, stupid practical jokes. And like, where's the storytelling? Where's the avatars? You know, where's the 2012 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stories? You know, and then I see something like this, and then like tie this into what, you know, Sun and Moon and XYZ did in some of their character arcs, and I'm like, this is powerful storytelling. You know, and Twilight Wings even did it better because like it's short form, relies a lot on visuals, and yet it tells the story that it wants to tell, and it's beautiful. And I love it. And I want more stuff like this.
Yeah, like when I'm viewing that episode, especially in that beginning, like it just interview of all the gym leaders, like that's the first time we actually see like pretty much every single gym leader like talking about Leon.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, like wow, finally hearing the character have a voice is like the one thing that's like very slow. That's me. And of course, naturally, the episode, the animation, of course, especially that mega battle at the end is like, oh boy,
good.
That was definitely good quality animations. I agree. And of course, naturally, at that end, like with teasing with the Pokemon trainer of you, supposedly,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm glad, like, yeah, that was a nice shoo-in forward for the game. But again, I'm very sad they couldn't really play along with the meme, like, no Scottish Lass trainer. I want the Scottish Lass, please.
Yeah, I didn't understand what you meant by that at first. I'm like, oh, is she supposed to be Scottish in the game? It's, okay. But yeah, I didn't catch the stinger at first because I'm like, okay, it's a couple of trainers asking for Corviknight. I don't get it. And then it's like, then I read the comments and I'm like, oh, those are the trainers in the game. I'm like, oh, okay. And okay, the comment section did not hold back on that stinger. All right. It's like they filled in the conversation. It's like, hey, kids, where are you two going? To end a man's career. It's like, or when the kid said, I'm gonna be the Pokemon champion one day. Their names are Victor and Gloria, I think it was. Victor and Gloria. Nope. It's like, I love it. Like, God bless the comment section. Oh, but yeah. Tyler, did you get to see Twilight Wings?
I did watch it.
Good.
It made me think about to like storytelling in the Pokemon games, because I did find Sword and Shields a little underwhelming, and I, like you, I thought the Twilight Wings was great, but I don't know. I would like. What do you guys think about a Pokemon game? I don't know if it's too anti the thesis of the series, but if you were the champion to start, I think that might be an interesting variation, because I really liked Leon. I felt like he had a lot of personality, and I know the blank slate avatar kind of like, especially for younger audiences, it lets you kind of feel like it's you more, but I don't know. I kind of would like to like play as Leon or play as a gym leader trying to kind of conquer Leon. I don't know. I'd like to see that in the game.
That's actually not a bad idea. I mean, we could call it, like, you know, Pokemon Champions or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could either, I mean, you could do a blank slate champion in a certain way, and then maybe, like, design both your champion and your perfect Pokemon team. You know, like, you get to pick, like, six Pokemon to be your squad. That would be kind of cool. And then you team up with, like, all the other league champions in a storyline that's completely your own, because you are the best in the world, and, you know, they need your help. So that could work. I mean, the beautiful thing about Pokemon, kind of like Mario, is that they've done so many things that that's actually not out of the ordinary. Like, why not have a game where you're the champion and you've already ascended to the top, but now you've got, like, you know, champion duties to attend to? That would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah, right. So. Because I think, you know, they obviously, it's a classic story, the unknown person rising to the top, and that's synonymous with Pokemon stories. So I would be surprised if they shook it up like that, but I think that there's potential there.
I'm surprised I didn't think of that before. But anyway, go check out Pokemon Twilight Wings. It's really good. All 7 episodes are now on YouTube. You'll really enjoy it. And then if you've been liking Pokemon Journeys like I have, it'll make you eager for the series to return so you can see more of Leon and Sonia and Nessa and all of them. So go and enjoy it. Speaking of enjoyment, hear the sarcasm in my voice. Nintendo has made another announcement of a game that is coming out this year.
Oh, Todd, is it the confirmation of Breath of the Wild? No. Did we get, like, you know, is Metroid Prime 4 suddenly done? No. How about Star Fox or Golden Sun? No, just shut up, you stupid fanboy. How dare you ask for things you actually want? What is wrong with you? You're going to give what Nintendo gives you, and that's it.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not. we got the announcement that October 30th, we are going to get Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Yes, Pikmin 3, not Pikmin 4, which they've said for years is done. So, yeah. Now, this one is an ironic choice for multiple reasons. The first one is, I swear to you, the day before this announcement, on comicbook.com, they ran an article noting that it was about to be the anniversary of Pikmin, and that fans were asking for the next Pikmin game to be on Switch. Which I was like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, we could have the next entry, it could fill out this year, blah, blah, blah. Like, I remember Tyler kept telling me that, you know, they said Pikmin 4 was done. And then the next day, I wake up, and I go to our Discord, and the first thing I see is Pikmin 3 Deluxe announced. I'm like, what? Because we talked about this a lot, especially the first year, because in that first year or so, there were a lot of games that were the deluxe editions. You know, we had Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. We had Pokken Tournament DX. We had the Super Street Fighter 2 HD Final Challengers thing, plus Knuckles. And then we had others. We had, you know, Mario U Deluxe. And then we had Tokyo Mirage Sessions earlier this year. We had Xenoblade, which, yes, I know it's a remaster / definitive edition. It's still a port. But really, like, Pikmin 3 Deluxe in October, which is supposed to be, like, you know, heading into the holiday season?
Mario Galaxy got released at that slot. Like, or not Mario, Mario Odyssey got released in that slot. Like, that's, I hear you on that. That is stressful.
It is. And it's like, now, we're not saying that Pikmin 3 wasn't a good game. That's not what we're saying. And we're not saying that this won't sell well. It will. It's the Switch. But this could have been something more. It could have been Pikmin 4. It's like, hey, and it didn't even have to do a direct with this. Like, I'll give them that. They didn't have to do a direct with this. They didn't have to. They could have done kind of what they did with Paper Mario and, like, do, like, a 2-3 minute thing where it's like, hey, this is what's happening, and we got more coming in our next Nintendo Direct, which they kind of did with Mario. But this is, like, by the time this comes out, it'll be, like, over 3.5 years since the Switch came out. And you're still bringing ports to the Switch. To what? To get more sales? Dude, Animal Crossing's got you covered for the year. Your whole year is made because of Animal Crossing. So why are you still making ports? It doesn't make sense, all right? This wasn't like Donkey Kong, where, you know, you brought in Tropical Freeze because it didn't do as well on Switch, or, you know, same with Mario Kart, which obviously both were good ideas, but that was early in the system's life. Now we're already, you know, by this time it's released, it's 3.5 years plus since it came out. Why are you releasing it in a critical time slot? Especially when we don't know, nothing's likely going to come out this month, let's just be honest with ourselves. September, right, at best is going to have the Crown Tundra, which is DLC, not a main game. And then now we have Pikmin 3. And then we have nothing at present for November or December. And even if the whole Mario anniversary releases comes out, that's still ports. This 2020 should not be years of ports and remasters. And Animal Crossing. Okay. Or Animal Crossing and Owl, you know, among others. But this just feels hollow. And I know a certain person on this podcast was trying to be incredibly positive on Twitter.
That's right.
I salute and I salute the notion to be positive. I do. You picked the wrong time.
No, listen, I've just been negative Tyler for a very long time. It's time to let the positive Tyler out. I agree with a lot of what Todd said. The thing that makes me okay with this is that Pikmin 3, like Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, did not sell very well, and it was a widely acclaimed great game. So from that respect, I'm glad that they're giving Pikmin 3 another chance. I'm happy that there's another game announced. It's just nice to know that something else is coming, even if it is as small as Pikmin 3. I also saw a lot of people reacting to this negatively because Nintendo delisted it from the Wii U's eShop.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
Right, so it was... But why don't you go ahead and take it, Will?
So, many news stories have pretty much covered it, but basically they have taken out the original Pikmin 3 from the Nintendo eShop, as well as, I believe, like other games as well, if I read the story right, which... Yeah, this is kind of, I mean, granted, I get it, you want to have people buy the definitive edition, but the fact that you're not giving the people the chance to actually play the original Wii U, not leaving it there, like, it's kind of like anti-consumer, if you ask me, because now, like, this one, that's kind of the reason why I like my physical copy games, because I know I have it, and not have to worry about the servers, or if they want to take it off the eShop, or PSN of that sort. And I can only imagine now, like, if this is going to jack up prices of the original Wii U copies, which this is going to be, I can't help but wonder.
Well, it was $20 on the Wii U eShop, and knowing Nintendo, they're charging $60 for this port. So the idea is, Nintendo is kind of sticking it to people who could have gotten it cheaper on Wii U. But I don't really feel that way. Again, this might just be positive me speaking. Not that many people had a Wii U, so
no.
And not that many people would say, oh, this is coming to Switch, let me go back and buy it on my Wii U. I agree that it's anti-consumer 100%. There's no other way to define it. But is it a big deal? No. I mean, maybe 10 people in the entire world would have gone back and bought Pikmin 3 on the Wii U's eShop. The biggest issue, like you said, Will, is if people deleted it because their Wii U's hard drive didn't have the memory space, and now they're not going to be able to get it back from there. I'm not sure if that's 100% true, though. I believe one of the articles that I was reading about it said that there should still be a way for you to re-download the game if you already purchased it. Still, I don't know. I agree with you, Todd. It's not exciting. The biggest problem I have is that it's coming out October 30th and not August 30th.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just one more point on it that was strange to me, and I feel that this is kind of indicative of Nintendo's rigid thinking being just unnecessarily rigid. If this was announced at like on that partner showcase, if they said, okay, you know what, let's just like, we could even call it a partner showcase and then say we have one first party announcement at the end, I feel like that would have been a better approach. You know, it is nice to know that there's something coming, and it was a forgotten Wii U game that a lot of people loved in a series that people feel is being forgotten about. Hopefully this does mean that Pikmin 4 is coming if it does well, because, you know, that game's development story is well chronicled and extremely confusing.
The way I actually see it is, because like now they announced the porting of Pikmin 3, is I believe they're also going to be using this as a testing ground right now. Because we have been hearing that Pikmin 4 is being developed from Shigeru, and like perhaps like this is just a testing ground to see, like, okay, if Pikmin 3 sells well, okay, let's speed up development. If it doesn't sell well, like, okay, we have a little bit more time to go and develop it so it doesn't cost us financially. And I understand why this entry will also be very appealing as well, because the one, they did add new things, especially like a co-op for the entire story mode, so that's one thing that's new. Of course, naturally, you have side stories with Olimar and Louis, so there's also that. Plus, with also all the DLCs from the prior game coming to this game, so basically the complete package plus more. So for any like newcomers and especially old veterans like ourselves have played it, then yeah, perhaps maybe it's a good time to like double dip. I mean, for me, I'm at the end of the game, but I haven't actually finished it. So I don't know. Maybe I'll double dip. Who knows? But overall, like this product, it does seem it is a faux product. But again, with how Nintendo handles it, that remains up for debate, naturally.
Now, on the topic of price, I'm not going to fault them too much for this because they're at least consistent. You know, Mirage Sessions, I believe, was 60. Mario Kart, obviously, was 60. Donkey Kong was 60. DX or Pokken was 60. And like they said, like you guys noted earlier, all the DLC from the previous game is going to be in here. So that's extra content that you might not have gotten with the Wii U version. So thus, it's 60, so that one's actually not too much of a bother for me. And like Tyler said, not a lot of people had a Wii U, so it's just, gosh, this is the second major title of this year that they've just decided to drop on Twitter without any fanfare. First was Paper Mario, and the other was Pikmin. And it's like, why? Like, what is going on? And Tyler, we've made so many jokes and references about how Nintendo is failing us this year in ways not including Animal Crossing, because obviously that's not a failure at all. But this is just sad. Like, when you're trying to say, like, oh, big announcement, Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Yeah, okay. Is it coming out this month? No, it's coming out in October. You tell me that this port isn't done already? Really? Okay. So.
Yeah, it is an odd situation to juxtapose this incredible sales news with, like, our big game announcement is a Pikmin 3 Deluxe. It's a very strange time in the Nintendoverse.
And then the next Nintendo Direct, our big announcement is Wii Music Port. Yeah, that's right, your Joy-Cons get to be musical instruments, but this isn't what I wanted. It's what you deserve! Like, and as Tyler and someone else on Twitter noted, this is very much a magic conch situation, which is why our podcast is labeled 61 million magic conch shells. Oh, magic conch shell, can we please get Pikmin 4? No. Can we get a Golden Sun on Switch? No. Can we get Star Fox on Switch? No. Can we get a new Donkey Kong game? No. Can we get anything other than a port?
Try asking again.
Exactly. It's like, why do you do this to us, Nintendo? And we're giving you leeway. We've given you leeway almost all year because of, like, the coronavirus and everything. We get that. But then you do things like this. It's like, are you really suffering? Or are you just pretending to kind of delay things that we'll get to later? Because really hard to tell.
It does make you think.
Yeah, we'll discuss this later. All right, next up, heading to our final topics. Overwatch in Smash Brothers, maybe. This has been one of the longest rumors since Overwatch on Switch, which actually came true, as you all remember. But a lot of fans are asking Blizzard whether an Overwatch character will come to Super Smash Brothers. And during a Reddit AMA, director Jeff Kaplan and lead hero designer Geoff Goodman were asked who they thought should be in the game and who they would want to be in the game should Overwatch get a chance. And the obvious answer from Jeff Kaplan was, of course, Tracer, because she's basically the mascot. And but then Goodman noted Doomfist could also work. He's kind of a fighting game hero already. He's certainly inspired by fighting games. And of course, Doomfist is a villain, which would help fill out the villain quota for the title, so that would work too. But again, this is not confirmation. They were just asked if they were going to get an Overwatch character, who would they want? And they gave very standard answers. But we have 5 characters left, and Overwatch is on Switch, and it's done rather well on Switch, so you never know.
I wouldn't say actually done very well on Switch, because again, like, we just need that fast frames per second performance that we need for PS4 or PC, so Switch, I don't really say is actually doing well, quote-unquote, but if they were have to probably put in a character, I mean, yeah, Tracer's obviously the obvious shoe-in, definitely. I mean, when they said Doomfist, it's like, really? Doomfist? I mean, Doomfist, it has been in the series for a while now, but, like, I wouldn't necessarily see him as, I mean, he is pretty much as the same close brawler like Little Mac, in a sense, I guess, but I won't really see Doomfist in Smash. I mean, if anything else, I'll probably, like, go with Winston or heck, even Reaper. I mean, of course, naturally, we have a one gun user, which is Joker, but I don't know. It's always nice to think about these things, but yeah, Tracer is obviously the easy shoo-in. I mean, heck, I'd be very surprised they actually put in D.Va.
Yeah, D.Va and Mei would be cool too. I think this actually goes the other way. I feel like this is more of a deconfirm, like. Because if Nintendo was, they've said the characters are chosen already, and if True. They were chosen, you would think they would be on an NDA, that they wouldn't be able to talk about it. So to me, this seems like it's not happening.
True. But...
I've said before that I'd like an Overwatch character. I think, you know, that's, it's a major franchise. It would fit in with the Smash Bros. Theming pretty well, but I think this is a deconfirm.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong on that. Like, they would probably sign an NDA, though there is probably some loopholes, including if they did have an NDA that they couldn't talk about the character, they might not say that you can't talk about other characters, because Tracer is the obvious one, but if they decided to go a different direction, they could say, oh yeah, I'd love to have Tracer in Smash, even though I know she's not going to be in it. There's ways around it.
No, you're right.
But you are right. They did say that Sakurai said that, you know, they have all the characters planned out, and as we found out, and I think last week or the week before that, he knew about the ARMS DLC Min Min before ARMS even really came out. You know, like that's, or he knew that ARMS was eventually going to be in the game, and then they said, oh yeah, we're going to put Min Min in there, or we're going to put a character in there. He's like, well, thanks for letting me know. So yeah, I don't know. With five characters left, this can go so many ways. It's crazy. So, and of course, with like a new rumor every single week about, oh, this character's clearly going to be in Smash Brothers because of this. Stop being such a Grinch. Right, Tyler? Yeah, I'm never going to let that one go. So, let us know who you think would be the best character representation for Overwatch in Smash, should it happen. And finally, Bay Channel. Yeah, so we bring this up for a couple reasons. One, we were really wondering, like last week or the week before that, when we were going to find out about Choose Your Legends. Well, we now have that answer. In the middle of August, there will be another Fae channel where they will reveal like the looks and designs and all that of the four Choose Your Legends characters, which will come out in September. And right now, they're having a big Fae summer celebration where you can get a whole bunch of orbs, where there's a hero fest going on, where you get like a whole bunch of chances for summons, and all of that. And not surprisingly, my 5-star luck was both good and bad, because they had like all these free banners. I did 2 5-star free summons, but they were for characters I already had. So, okay. I mean, not that I'm mad, because at least it confirms that I had them, because I got 5-star Lyncia and 5-star Ephraim and Lion, so that was nice. But I'm looking forward to Choose Your Legends, because that's easily one of our favorite times of the year, because they're really cool character designs, and they often support the lore of the character, so it'll be interesting. Because I forgot who won. I don't want to remember, because I just want to be surprised again. So
pretty much is the three heroes, like the three house heroes.
Oh, that's right. It was three houses, and it was the main characters in Lysithia. That was it. So, see, I just said I wanted to be surprised, and you ruined it. You ruined it, Will! You had one shot!
It shouldn't be surprising how much you two have been playing Three Houses, so,
Tyler, dang it, Will, I've tried to sleep since then. Also, I'll throw in Tyler in there. Dang it, Tyler, I've tried to sleep since then. Alright? So, even me, with all my random knowledge and references of television shows, I can't remember everything, so, bleh. But yeah, we will be finding out more about that later this month, and then Choose Your Legends banner will be next month, so if you're wanting to save orbs for that, like I will be, definitely go do that. And then there's going to be a pirate banner?
Yeah, that's the thing that's like very interesting. Yeah.
That came out of left field, and then they, honestly, I'll give them props, 4 out of the 5 are actually pirates. Like, you know, Tip Barnes and Air Pirate, I remember them saying that. And although Nasala could have worked as well, and then all the other ones were like actually pirates, and then they threw in Xander and Veronica. And that art, I swear, looks so weird. It looks like Veronica's like a puppet because of like the angle, and it's like, you know, and Xander's like controlling her because like look at her face compared to Xander's, and I'm just like, what is going on here exactly?
Yeah, and also the funny part is what they also released a little mini presentation as well regarding to that duo here of Veronica and Xander, which like, oh, like why am I dressed like in this getup? Like, oh, you must know the people and take part in traditions. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Impala has traditions, but why? To make them happy? Like, okay, I gotta give props to Wendy Lee's performance as well as Xander, but yeah, like the summer has summoned so many pirates, so surely we can know what this festival is, so as well. It's definitely a weird conversation to say this, because again, I'm still surprised, like, as well, some of the fandom of Faye really does like ship Veronica with Xander just because of the whole brother sister, especially need to fill in that archetype, I guess. But yeah, just dual hero and like, okay, pirates.
Oh boy. I mean, I'm gonna go for it because I want to get at least one of the characters. I'm gonna shoot for Tibarn.
Yeah, Tibarn's the best one.
Well, Tibarn's always been the best, but like the other ones, at least they're pirates. Like they're actual pirates, and I respect that. So, like the female character, she was like, you know, I'm actually a pirate, right? I'm like, yes, good. It's not random,
right? Dart was a pirate. Like I thought Dart from Fire Emblem 7 was going to be in this for sure.
There you go.
And yet no. Or Shanty Pete. He's the one character connecting all the games together. All the characters will talk about a pirate named Shanty Pete in just about every single game. And that would have been such a cool callback.
Oh, well. But, yeah, we got, again, stay tuned for more information on that, and we'll happily regale you with what we think are the best designs for the Choose Your Legends when we find out about them, which should be not next week's show, but the week after, so stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, it's Dimitri.
You know, and I also can't say that because... yes, more than likely they'll do like something really cool, especially if they go like, you know, future form Dimitri with the eye patch and everything. Like, that's hard to screw up, though. I'm sure Fire Emblem Heroes can find a way. But you know, I don't know. Like they have gone pretty epic with some of the designs. Like Ike is obviously my favorite, but Lucina was really boss with her blue armor, and you know, Roy wasn't too bad either. And
Roy's was excellent. I thought.
Camilla wasn't too bad either. Her outfit was at least tactful this time.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
You know, so they can go a different way and just make it look awesome. We'll just have to see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So now for our main event, we wanted to take a slightly different approach because we've asked like some really basic questions, and we've dove into our personal thoughts of Nintendo and games that should come out, and you know, games that should be made and blah blah blah. But let's take a different path. Let's take a path to the dark side of gaming. All right, let's ask questions that you may not want to have answered, but need to be asked anyway. And we're going to do this in a very special session of the NEP Secret Society. My brothers, I welcome you to this very special segment. Our brother Tellius Tyler has had some very interesting thoughts of late. Tell them all your truth, Tyler.
Well, I was connecting the dots, right? I'm looking at Nintendo's 2020, and I can't figure it out. You know, sales are great. The Switch is booming. Why is Nintendo not releasing any games? Then it dawned on me. What if Nintendo actually does have an arsenal of games it's ready to release? But they're holding out on us. They're waiting for the momentum to stall, for the COVID-19 era to pass, and sales to dip before they unleash all of these first party games that they've been accumulating and, might I add, keeping secret from us people.
An intriguing thought, brother. Will, what do you have to say on this matter?
It definitely has some weight to that, I feel, because we always have known that Nintendo has like to play their cards close to their chest. And if they want to keep things private, they keep things private. Again, we have witnessed the Nintendo Ninjas strike before, and they are ruthless. And I feel like regarding to, they are planning something, I feel like, especially with this time period of COVID-19, Animal Crossing has just fell into their lap, as we discussed many times over. So if there's anything to release, I feel like they are planning something big. Maybe it is to counteract the new next coming of generation consoles of PS5 and Xbox Series X. So I feel like they're trying to like really turn the tide in their favor when those two consoles come out, I feel. So perhaps that is their plan coming soon once we hit the holiday season.
Yes. It is an intriguing notion which is backed up by logic. Because as we have noted for the past 3 or so years, Nintendo has done very well in trying to space out their first-party and third-party rivals. And at the beginning of the year, they seemed poised to launch many different titles. And yet, once coronavirus hit, they all went away. Now, yes, it's true that the pandemic clearly had an effect on the development cycle, as Daddy Sakurai himself has noted. But truly, did it?
Did it really?
'Cause let us wonder, as Tyler noted, what if this is all just a sales scam? What if they saw the power of Animal Crossing New Horizons, and they saw how much it was selling, and how much they saw that it was selling throughout the months after its release, as we touched on today, and it said, Animal Crossing could make our whole year. And for proof of this, look at Xenoblade. That was a game that many wanted to see a remastering of. A true graphical overhaul, plus a tease of what was to come. And yet it didn't even sell a tenth of what Animal Crossing did in the 3 months after its release. And who knows what Paper Mario has done. So perhaps they said that Animal Crossing could maintain our entire year. We dole out minor first-party titles, the ports, the games that maybe the fans won't react too well, like the Expansion Pass, like Origami King, like Pikmin 3 Deluxe. And then, in 2021, they go and release month after month of titles, but not just to entertain the fans. Oh no, they have a more sinister motive, because the truth as we see it is thus: what releases this holiday season?
That's not a trick question. That's an actual answer to the question. What comes out this holiday season? This is the Q&A portion of the show.
Nothing.
No, there is something.
This holiday season.
It's not a trick question. What is coming out this holiday season?
Pikmin 3 Deluxe?
No!
What
outside of Nintendo?
Oh!
Yes!
Oh!
For those who do not understand, Tyler, yes, understand now! Thanks for joining the program! What's wrong with this kid? I just don't know! But yes.
Alright, Joker.
Okay, hold on, first try.
So,
is he thinking like the College Humor Batman episodes where he just can't answer any of the riddles?
Do I not have these voices? No, anyway.
A helicopter.
Truth. The truth is, what releases this holiday season? The Xbox Series X and the PS5. So what if they decided to hold back on their first-party titles so that when their rivals in console glory release, they just bombard their first year with such a slew of titles that it buries them. And even if they have decent sales, their first years will be definitively overshadowed by the glory of the first party lineup.
And third party, obviously. But let's not get helpful. So,
yes, that is the truth that we see.
Now, think about it, right? E3 this year.
Yes.
I can't imagine that Nintendo would have shown what was in the, like, Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne Remaster and WWE Battlegrounds. I can't imagine those were the centerpieces. And Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Yeah, I can't imagine those were the centerpieces of what they were going to show. And I also can't imagine that they hadn't planned out the show. I mean, Reggie said previously that the E3 planning starts in January. They must have stuff, right? They must have some sort of strategy or some sort of vague idea of when they're going to release these unannounced games. Why should they release it now? I mean, profits in quarter one were up 428%. 428%. That is insane. Animal Crossing. But despite not Animal Crossing is obviously the huge release, but it's been reported since that COVID, it's not a secret, has been actually a boon for these gaming companies because everybody's stuck inside looking for stuff to do. What are they going to do? They're going to play video games. So maybe, I know, Nintendo's looking at it. They're seeing the numbers in real time. They're seeing momentum in you. And at the end of the day, like I said with Animal Crossing DLC, it's not consumer friendly. But I could certainly see the decision maker saying, well, wow, we don't need to keep momentum going. We have momentum right now. We're headed downhill. We are rolling downhill. And, you know, at some point, that momentum's going to stall. And then when it does, let's just keep taking the time to build up this release calendar. We don't know, but there have been insider reports for years since the Switch came out about a Metroid Prime trilogy. The Metroid Prime trilogy being re-released, the idea being that they would re-release it, develop hype for Prime 4. So I'd imagine they'll launch that, you know, 8 months to a year before 4 comes out to get people, you know, up to speed, hungry for the game. But, you know, they're clearly holding that back if the reports are true and to be believed, which I personally believe them. I don't know why so many insiders would make that up. So there is a precedent for them kind of holding back on titles. And Pikmin 4 is the same way, right? Think about the Pikmin 3 port. If the idea with Metroid Prime would be to hype up Metroid Prime 4, you could see a Pikmin 3 Deluxe being used similarly to hype up a Pikmin 4. So listen, I'm a conspiracy theory guy. I don't like conspiracy theories. I feel that generally they're negative. That being said, it makes you think. It makes you think.
Yes, brother. No, I'm just going to drop the voice. I've done it long enough. So, okay, yeah, this is definitely a curious thing. Is it true? Probably not. But it is just, it's so weird, because, like, and you brought up the best point of all, E3. Why in the world would they have done E3 with the biggest things to announce were, at the time, Paper Mario Origami King, which was huge, but not too huge.
Right. It was big, not gigantic.
Yeah, it was nice to know we were going to get another Paper Mario title, but it wasn't like, you know, it. Yeah, we'll just move on. like there that would have been one thing. So that's just one announcement. Fine.
No, and you're totally right. I mean, what were you gonna say, that the gameplay wasn't what people were looking for?
No, I was gonna say if it was more like Thousand Year Door, it would have exploded.
You're right though. You're right about that. I mean, I don't disagree at all. I think that's a very fair point. Just from a, even though I like the game, from a marketing perspective. You saw how people reacted. You know, you saw how I reacted, and I think Origami King was phenomenal. But there is no way that would have been a slam dunk. Yeah, this is great, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, and so, like, so that would have been a big announcement, objectively. And then Pikmin 3 Deluxe, sure. They probably would have had, like, something more on Crown Tundra, maybe. And that's it, because that's all where we are right now. And, like, that can't be it. And, like, oh, maybe if they did, like, you know, Metroid Prime Trilogy Switch, you know, again, that's fine, but that's another port. So where are all the other games that they promised? And I'm not even thinking of, like, the ones that have been promised for years, like, you know, Metroid Prime 4 or Bayonetta 3. Or I'm not even going to say, you know, Legend of Zelda, because take as much time with that one as you want. But where are all the other games? They were doing so well. And every E3, they had something special to make us look forward to. And right now, if there is a light at the end of the tunnel, it's literally like a lighter. It's just like, and you can close, and you can close that lighter real quickly. So I was just like, what were they going to do at E3 to really wow us? Because the two games that we know about between Paper Mario and Pikmin, that wouldn't have wowed us all the way. Not like what they've done the last few, or their Persona, or not Persona, Shin Megami. You know, even those announcements, those are cool, but those are third-party announcements. Where's the first party? And you notice we haven't heard anything on Bravely Default 2 in ever.
No.
So who knows if that's still coming out this year for Switch. And, you know, where's the other, you know, super major third-party games? Because, you know, Atlas has promised those games forever, and same with Square, and where's everything else? So... it may sound like we're going over the top, especially in my dark voice, but kind of have to ask. And I mean, I made up the other console rivalry thing off the top of my head, even though it does sound actually pretty awesome and evil to do. Because what better way to screw with Microsoft and Sony than have like your best Switch year ever right on top of their launches?
Yeah, just like Breath of the Wild 2, new Mario title. You know, the whole works. Pikmin 4 and Splatoon 3 and
Star Fox and Golden Sun and it's F-Zero for Keith. And, you know, in the wrestling business, we call this counter-programming because it's true. So, again, is this likely what's going on? No. But at this point in time, with everything that's going on, especially with, you know, the lack of the directs, the weird partner direct that did basically nothing outside of Shin Megami 5. Sorry, Will, but
even then, man, Shin Megami 5, we saw a pre-rendered trailer of that 3 years ago.
Yeah,
you know, like it was very similar. Like we just got a vague 2021.
So, and yeah, again, that was 2021. So, like, there you go. They're stacking the deck. It's like they set us up. So, I don't know, but like at this point in time, you almost have to look at conspiracy theories or the magic conch, because it's like, what other answers are there? Because it can't all be COVID. It just can't. Because other companies, even Cyberpunk, which you think would be the most heavily affected, it still has a release date of this year. And yes, I know, Will, it's been delayed 1,000 times. But that's just because CD Projekt Red are perfectionists, not unlike Nintendo. And they want to make sure the game was right. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense that all of these games would be affected in this way to where they can't release this year. And the ports... like, those are arguably the easiest to do because you already have everything. You're just refreshing it all. You know, with Xenoblade, at least you could say, oh, well, they had to add the future connected content, which I understood. But, you know, Pikmin, not so much. I mean, you're just adding the DLC and you're fine-tuning it for the Switch and making sure the motion controls work and all that. And okay, but that's it. So, I don't know. We really don't know. That's why we were going conspiracy theory here, because what else is there? Where are the answers?
It's the classic Nintendo. Can we have something to eat? No. Can we have something to eat? No.
No.
Can we have something to eat? No.
No. Try again later. No. And we will try again next week. Promise. Because who knows what's going to happen in the next 7 days? Yeah. Oh, which reminds me, there was a rumor going around by an insider saying that we might have another direct of some kind between the 11th and the 22nd of August. So we'll see if that comes true.
Yeah, that seems like a comfortable guess, because they said they're going to do more minis this year, which plural minis makes me think, you know, at least two more, right?
At least.
So 3 weeks is, I mean, 11 days is a pretty big time frame.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's Nintendo's just boggling our minds. And hey, what are you going to do? This is the life of a Nintendo fan. Holding on, waiting for them to do something you actually want them to do. And
it's just really, like, we're just waiting for Nintendo. Just like, come on, throw us a freaking bone here. Come on, literally.
Oh, there's a good one. Hey, can we have this game? How about new? And thus is the struggle, and thus why we wait. But wait, we shall. Wait, we shall. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler,
we did not do a poll last week.
Let's do one this week. Let's do our conspiracy question. I really want to know. And you know what, Tyler? Since this was your topic, you can frame the question however you want.
Awesome.
Just make sure you tag it to High Heaven so that people can see it.
Right.
Yeah. But yes, vote on our conspiracy-themed poll question, and let's see where your dark minds have gotten to. By the way, do you want to know how I got these scars? No. My father was an Xbox fan. And one day I bring home a PS4, and he goes off crazier than usual. No. So he grabs the Wiimote. No. I could keep going. This is how my mind works. But let us know what you thought of the incredible Q1 2020 for the Nintendo Switch. What was the most surprising stat for you? Was it the Animal Crossing sales? Was it the Switch numbers? Was it Clubhouse Games getting over 1 million? Or, you know, everything in between? Let us know. And then what did you think of Pokemon Twilight Wings Episode 7? Are you sad to see it go? Be honest with us. Are you excited for Pikmin 3 Deluxe? Of the Overwatch characters mentioned, which one do you personally want in Smash Brothers should it happen? And what character, just to make us happy, what Choose Your Legends character do you hope looks the most boss, and why is it Dimitri? So, I'm kidding. But let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!